This is Jim Hoag on WGDR Plainfield, 91.1 FM. The name of the program is The House at Pooh Corner. Your guest today, as I promised, is Chief Luke Willard. Are you with us?
I sure am, Jim. How are you doing today?
All righty. Would you identify the exact tribe that you're part of, other than the Abenaki?
I'm chief of the Nulhegan Band of the Abenaki Nation, which is up on... up in the Northeast Kingdom in the Newport Derby area, around Lake Memphremagog and Lake Salem, which is which used to be called Lake Abenaki.
Lake Salem used to be called Lake Abenaki?
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah. Wow, that's a slap in the face. Do you know when?
Yeah. Well, they only called it Salem Lake because there. A part of Derby, what we now call Derby, was incorporated as the town of Salem.
Mm-hmm.
So it was the lake that was there, so they called it Salem Lake.
Oh, okay. Well, as I mentioned last week, and as I mentioned a few seconds ago before I got you on the line, I have to also say the following program presents the opinions of its producer and guests and does not necessarily reflect an official opinion of WGDR or its licensee, Goddard College. But in this case, I'm sure it would. Yes, I tried to explain the dilemma that your tribe is faced with because of the machinations that the House is up to in changing Senate Bill S-222 to make it practically impossible for your tribe to sell its goods as Indian products. And so I'm hoping that you can sort of straighten out the situation so listeners can understand. And then more important, if you can tell people what you would like them to do in response to all of this.
Okay, that's perfect. Well, first, let me give you a little bit of background, so that people really understand what official state recognition is. It's not oftentimes when I talk to people that aren't familiar with that term, they think that it's a pat on the back or a extra privilege or something like that. It's really not. What recognition is. In order to explain that, I guess I have to explain a particular federal law. There's a law called the Federal Indian Arts and Crafts Law, okay, mm-hmm. which is governed by a board called the Indian Arts and Crafts Board. And what that states is that if you are not a member of a federally or state recognized Indian tribe, that you may not sell your wares if you're an artisan, which I'm really not, but we have many of them. Right now it is technically illegal for the members of my tribe to sell their wares as Indian made. They can't sell them as Indian made. They can't sell them as Native American made. They can't even sell them as Abenaki made because we're not recognized by the state of Vermont. And so 4 years ago, a bill was signed into law, and it was S-117. Okay, and S-117 was supposed to be the bill to recognize the Abenaki, and it didn't do that. The Attorney General came in at the last minute, and you wanted to know who one of the bad guys is. The Attorney General is definitely one of the bad guys.
Mm-hmm. And I've been, by the way, on other subjects, I've been saying that for many years about him. You're talking about William Sorrell.
Yes.
Yeah, and I consider he's not only a bad guy, but he's a stupid bad guy, which makes it difficult to reason with him on issues of of importance to the people of Vermont. He doesn't seem to have a constituency in Vermont, from what I can see. But yeah. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. Well, I can go into that a little bit. I can go into that a little bit more, and then I'll finish up on on the timeline there.
Well, and we will have time.
We have plenty of time. Vermonters. Today. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
We have plenty of time today. By the way, my other guests didn't reconfirm, so
we can
go longer.
Attorney General Sorrell's office. When the Missisquoi tribe of Abenakis, our friends and our cousins over in Franklin County, applied for federal recognition, Attorney General Sorrell's office spent literally hundreds of thousands of dollars of Vermont taxpayer money. You know, hundreds of thousands of dollars doesn't sound like a whole lot when you've got, you know, Bush and Obama going around spending trillions and everything. But here in the little tiny state of Vermont, I think that most people would be slightly upset that that Sorrell's office would spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on one tiny little thing. Tiny little thing in comparison to the scope of their of their job there, but a huge thing for the Abenaki. What he did was he spent all that money disputing the claims of the Abenaki, and there weren't really any claims other than, hey, we're here. And I'm referring to the Missisquoi Abenaki in Franklin once again. But their claim was, hey, we're here. And we're looking for some acknowledgement, an official tip of the hat that we're here, which would cost nothing. You know, that costs nothing. Mm-hmm. An investment of $0 for Jim and Joe taxpayer. He chose to do the opposite and spend hundreds of thousands of dollars trying to make the Missisquoi Abenakis look like, liars and frauds. Mm-hmm. Now he's doing the same thing. I don't think he's spending any money, but he's spending time and doing again, trying to kill this bill. And it looks like it's going to be successful because, let me go back to where I left off with S-117.
Which administration? Who was governor when he started this?
I'm sorry?
Who was the governor when this particular problem started? Was it
with Missisquoi?
Yeah.
I believe that would be definitely Howard Dean.
Okay, so it started, this particular problem we're talking about with the Missisquoi was with Howard Dean, and it the same problem is continuing under the Douglas administration.
Yeah, he signed S-117. I really don't know what to say about Governor Douglas. Because I don't think that he's been given the opportunity yet to step up and show support or not show support. Mm-hmm. I will say that all it would take from him is a charge to his legislators, to get this done, and they would probably get it done. Mm-hmm. But he chooses not to say anything, and I'm not condemning him, but let me move on.
Yeah, okay, yeah, keep going.
S-117 in 2006, the Attorney General stepped in at the last moment, messed with the language of the bill, and therefore the bill was ineffective at protecting our artisans from the federal law. You see, the way this goes is, as I said earlier, the federal Indian Arts and Crafts law is governed by the Federal Indian Arts and Crafts Board, and they have specific guidelines that you have to meet in order to qualify to sell your wares as Indian made. S-117 didn't cut it. They took all the good fruit out of the bill, and they just left it, with an empty, dry shell. Mm-hmm. And so our artisans were not protected. And technically, those of them that are selling their crafts as Abenaki made, technically, they are breaking the law. They are being forced to be criminals. You know, we as chiefs really can't go around and tell them not to do that. I mean, because, you know, you're stuck between a rock and a hard place here, because these artisans are, I'm saying, if you follow the law and you don't put on your label that it's Abenaki made, well, then you're lying, because you are Abenaki.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're breaking the law of the law of nature, the law of the ethics of God, whatever you want to call it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, or you can follow the law of the crown,
mm-hmm.
and you can lie. So you're kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. I tell my people to follow their heart and not their fear.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to put down that it's Abenaki made, put it down, and I'll if you get prosecuted, I'll stand there with you. You know,
mm-hmm.
And luckily we haven't run into that yet.
Mm-hmm.
But things are going to be changing with this federal arts and crafts law, and it's going to make it so that any federal agent can prosecute you, and when I say any federal agent, I mean border patrol agents, customs officers, border inspection officers, and that is a problem up here, especially where my tribe is. We're right here on the border.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we see the border patrol every day, and up until now, and they still are, for the most part, our friends, they never bother us. You know, they're the guys in the white cars that chase down whoever. I don't know.
Yeah, and you wave to them, and they know you.
What's that?
You wave to them, and they know you.
Yeah, pretty much. But things are going to be different. You know, there are things happening in Washington, D.C. right now that are changing this. It's actually going to charge these federal officers with, you know, really going out and seeking our people for these purposes. Where I'll bet you today, the border folks up here that are just doing their job have no idea. You know, I don't think that they realize anything about this situation,
mm-hmm.
and they probably don't want to.
Mm-hmm.
Now let's jump ahead to now. Okay, so S-117 passed in 2006. Channel 3 and all the other news stations report that the Abenaki have received recognition. Gag, 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 you know. It's total bogus. We have no recognition whatsoever. Okay, so the following year, we go back to the legislature as individual tribes. Because the Abenaki, the various Abenaki tribes historically have not really gotten along all that well. And following S-117, we all wanted to see another recognition bill come into play that would actually, you know, do what it was supposed to do and grant some recognition so that our people don't have to be criminals anymore. And none of us could agree on anything, of course, because we weren't getting along. The legislature told us to go back to the drawing board and find something that we can all agree on. You know, that was a it was a difficult charge for us, because we're talking about generations of leaderships that just did not speak to each other. You know, I'm fairly young in the scope of things, but I can remember when I was a kid, none of the chiefs talked to each other. Not for long, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Not for long, anyway, at all. So, one thing led to another. There was a long string of communication, I remember, because I had just become chief here at Nohegan. And, lo and behold, we formed the first Abenaki alliance that we're aware of in centuries. You know, we essentially made history. You know, and I'll tell you, if nothing else comes out of this fight for recognition. You know, I think that that most of us will be pretty happy with the fact that we did make history, and now we all get along great. You know, we talk to each other every day. I talk to the other chiefs, and they all talk to each other almost on a daily basis, and we have a pretty great relationship now. We work together on a lot of projects. Anyway, so the legislature asked us to find something we could agree upon. You know, they asked us to walk a mile. In my opinion, we walked 10 miles because we not only agree on one thing, we agree on almost everything now. And so we formed the Vermont Indigenous Alliance, and it's the Abenaki tribes of Nohegan, my tribe, the Abenakis of Missisquoi, under the leadership of April St. Francis Merrill. Mm-hmm. There is the Koasuk tribe just south of us, just south of Caledonia County, under the leadership of Nancy Millette Doucette. And then there's the Elnu Abenaki tribe, which is in southern Vermont. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's four tribes in the alliance. We work with Professor Fred Wiseman of Johnson State College. He helps us out with a great deal of things. He writes, he collects and helps us write our histories. Anyway, I'm beating around the bush here, but what we did was we spent 3 years preparing for recognition. We did not ever want to go before the legislature again and be told that we were not prepared. We wanted to go in there with mountains of paperwork, mountains of documentation, completely agreeable, as they charged us to do. And that's exactly what we did this year. In fact, we kind of did it last year. That's a story for another day. This year we went in with everything, and I mean everything, Jim. It would leave you without a shadow of a doubt. We did all the work for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And the Senate Committee, General Housing and Military Affairs Committee, under the leadership of Vince Luzzi,
mm-hmm.
I believe Hinda Miller is the assistant chair, sub-chair, whatever you call it. Anyway, the two of them, you know, Vince Luzzi has been working with the Abenaki tribes for a decade or more.
Mm-hmm.
He's a great friend to our tribes, and I really want people to know that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hinda Miller also did a wonderful job for us. You know, they passed a bill that was absolutely perfect, and they made life quite easy on us. You know, they treated us very respectfully, which is really not something that we're used to in Montpelier. And they passed the bill. Okay, so the bill gets handed off to the House General Housing and Military Affairs Committee.
And this is
Helen Head is the chair. Keisha Ram is the clerk. Keisha Ram seemed to spearhead this bill. Meaning, when we were passed over to the House, Keisha, who is a very young legislator, I believe she's in her early 20s. In probably her freshman term, Keisha, we were led to believe that she was going to be the spokesperson for this bill. She was very friendly with all of us, and we thought that once again we were going to be treated very fairly, and that 2010 was our year. But boy, were we wrong!
Mm-hmm. And this is S-222, by the way.
This is S-222.
Yep.
Abenaki Recognition of Tribes.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there will be no Abenaki Recognition of Tribes. I don't think so, anyway. I suppose it's still a possibility. But I think at this point, the direction that Keisha, young Keisha, has taken this bill in is bad for I coined a term, Jim. It's called bloodless extermination. Okay, that's where you wipe out a race of people without firing a shot, without using a needle, without spraying one bit of blood.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what's going on here. She has taken this bill in a direction that will make it literally impossible for the tribes to become recognized. Our hearts are broken. We feel very betrayed. Unlike the Senate, we were not treated fairly by these folks. I don't want to say the whole committee, because when I testified, they actually treated me quite nice, but there were other experiences by other chiefs that were not so great. And I will say this, you know, when I gave my testimony, we were still under the impression that Keisha Ram was a friend to the Abenaki. She had not shown her true colors at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't know what else to say.
Okay,
you know,
this is
the really sad part of the story, where, mm-hmm. where the bill just turns into a nightmare,
mm-hmm.
and you as a chief have to sit back and decide, okay, well, this is a bill that I kind of helped write, I kind of helped direct it, and I've been supporting it since, you know, the first words went down on the paper, and now I might be in a position where I have to try and kill the bill, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty hard.
Yeah. Well, one question, and I wrote a bill and I got it passed through the Senate, four Senate hearings, and then I got to the House and I got it passed by the House too, but it was another matter. It was a completely different feeling. I mean, here I had spent countless hours. It was the voting rights bill which outlawed electronic voting in Vermont. And I was treated, okay. I was treated very well in the Senate, all four hearings. And then I get to the House and I was treated as though I hadn't written it, as though I was some kind of interloper butting into state affairs and, you know, shut up and let Deb Markowitz do whatever she wants kind of thing. And this is just to exaggerate a comparison that you've brought to mind, because that's what happened to me. So I understand that there is either an innate sensitivity in the House of being the little people, or somebody gets to them between the Senate and the House. And whoever that somebody is in any different case knows that, okay, we'll let the Senate do whatever it's going to do. Remember the Farmer Protection Act. Sailed through, great bill, fantastic, and then Monsanto and company come together, tell a bunch of lies to the farmers who buy into this giant lie, and then suddenly the Farmer Protection Act is no more. They knew all they had to do was get to a few farmers, get to the House members, and it would kill it. So whoever these people are, they certainly got to the House. They got to Keisha Ram.
Let me tell you who they are.
Okay.
Excuse me. Okay, in 2000, I got to step back to 2006 and S-117. S-117, the only thing it did is it created a commission, the Vermont Commission on Native American Affairs. All of the appointees were all of the members were appointed by the. They were vetted by the Department of the Office of Historic Preservation,
mm-hmm.
As well as Governor Douglas's her name is Diane Young. I'm not quite sure what her title is. It's some sort of legal counsel, I believe. They were vetted by them, and they were ultimately appointed by the governor. And you know, I really didn't come on the program today to to say this. Well, I guess maybe I did, but the commission was injected with tribe haters, and I don't want to say Abenaki haters because most of these people are actually Abenaki, but they're not members of the Abenaki tribes. They're either in the case of I believe two of them, they're members of a tribe in Quebec called Odinak, which is a federally recognized tribe in Odinak. And when I say federally, I don't mean our federal.
Right, if it's in Canada.
They're recognized by the Canadian government, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So they have their own recognition. I can't imagine why they would be put on a commission to deal with some unrecognized Abenakis, but they were.
Mm-hmm.
And some other folks too that either had out of state interests or simply despised the tribes for one reason or another, whether they hate the leaders or hate if you want to use the term establishment, I hate that word myself, but for whatever reason, most of the people that were appointed to the commission have a long, long history of being completely 100% against the tribes. Now, this commission was charged, the members were commissioned by the statute to assist the tribes in various things, economic development and possibly developing a better bill and so on and so forth. But the key two words here were assist tribes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I can testify, I can confess, I can slam my fist down on a desk and tell you that as chief of Nulhegan, not once did any one of these members contact me with any type of help, okay, with any type of assistance or with any type of desire to be of assistance, with exception of two people, okay? The first chair of the commission is a gentleman named Mark Mitchell. Mark Mitchell is a really decent man in the Abenaki community. He just happens to be a supporter of the tribe, the tribes, I should say. I used to talk with him quite frequently on the phone, and most of our conversations were about the fact that he wishes that he could work more with the tribes, but he's limited by the wishes of his membership, you know, of the commission. In other words, he was being outvoted. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So Mark did it a while. I think he may have served a term. And then he said, no, I've had enough. I can't do this. You know, this is a completely ineffective commission, and I don't feel that I belong here. I can't get anything done. It's a setup. Okay, so he left the commission. However, today, you will find Mark quite often sitting with the tribes in Montpelier. He's right there with us. He's right there with us. The second chair of the commission is a gentleman named Don Stevens. Don Stevens has become a great friend of mine. He had no other intention than to assist the tribes, which is what the charge of that commission was. But once again, he was outvoted, and villainized by his commission members. For wanting to do something like that, they just they put him into a corner. Same thing with Don. He had enough. He couldn't take it. I don't even think he made it a full term. But Don today works with the Alliance of Tribes. I talk to him at least via email almost every day. He goes to almost every single testimony. He's testified on our behalf countless times, okay? So there's two chairs of the commission who are devout supporters of the tribes and recognition of the tribes, S-222, as it was passed by the Senate, okay?
Mm-hmm.
However, they're the only two.
Mm-hmm.
They're the only two. They have a new chair. His name is Charlie Delaney. I know that Charlie wants to see recognition. He told me so the last time I saw him. He shook my hand and he said, I hope you get recognized. However, actions speak more than words. And you know, I'm really not going to say much more than that because, once again, you can only do as much as...
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can't make applesauce without apples.
Okay,
and,
so...
And he was not handed any apples, that's for sure.
Just
so I think maybe that he's doing the best that he can. At this point, the commission has spent the last couple of years testifying against the tribes. You know, shouldn't that be illegal? This is where I get real passionate about it because... You know, they were commissioned by statute to assist the tribes, and they've spent the last couple of years testifying against us. Mm-hmm. I mean, they've done some horrible, horrible things. They have blocked... Listen to this, Jim. One or two of them, I'm not sure. I think maybe it's just one. I know of one for sure, of these commission members, actually has a website, a blogging website on the Internet, and the whole thing is devoted... to bashing the tribes, calling us a bunch of fakes and frauds, and basically picking through our garbage, okay? That's what they are. They're garbage pickers. They're picking through our garbage. They pirate my Facebook, okay? If I put the slightest off-color thing onto my own personal Facebook, you know, with my mm-hmm. own personal friends, somehow they get in there, they screen capture it or... copy and paste it, and they put this on their blog. I mean, it's garbage picking is what it is, Jim.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the Southern Poverty Law Center did that to Second Vermont Republic for a while, and the people who buy into it, that's another hysterical thing. All the good liberals buy into it. They don't check it out. They don't know what's happening, and yet there's this sea that comes crashing down on you because somebody they consider reputable garbage picked on you. And put it out there into the public. But anyway, this is WGDR Plainfield. Now, let's talk about one of the really good people in this. Jessica Bernier had a conversation the other day and forwarded it to you and forwarded it to me.
Yep.
Regarding how the House is going to proceed. And you explained in your subsequent email that... it's simply a matter that now the bad guys are going to step in and quash the whole thing because those are the people that the House is now listening to. And so you can talk about that a little bit. But before that, I don't think we clarified, or I didn't get it, what you think actually happened, or I probably missed it. You had this perfect bill passed by the Senate that the House could have just rubber stamped, but instead they go tying themselves in knots to make sure that it doesn't work. And what they told the Jessica was, well, the feds are going to shut this down. The feds aren't going to go for this. Well, of course, my point is, so what? You know, make the feds go through all that effort, if they really want to step in and say, no, these aren't Indian goods. Now, if it's really all that important to the feds to do that, let them show their hand, for God's sake. Don't go tying yourself in knots trying to anticipate all the problems that might occur down the road sometime. Just pass the Senate bill in the House, let her ride, and then let William Sorrell take his orders from the feds or however he operates and see what happens. So anyway, I'll let you comment on what I've just said and whether or not that would be viable.
Okay, well, the first thing is, I can't remember the name of the legislator that Jessica spoke with.
I could tell you in a second.
I'm going to use a term here And I'm not talking about him. I want to make that clear because I don't know the gentleman, and I don't know where he's getting his information. My guess is he's getting his information from Keisha Ram.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't want to villainize anyone on that committee for anything other than really giving way too much credit to a first-term legislator with very little life experience, who seems to think that she's got it more figured out than a committee of seasoned veteran senators. Okay, Vince Aluzzi, Hinda Miller, and the list goes on.
Well, I know how they look up that. I know how they do their work, which is they have aides and they get volunteers. And they give them an assignment. They say, okay, this is the research that I need you to do, and this is the timeline, so get back to me so that, you know, I can work on this bill. So that's...
Okay, so what you just said mm-hmm. was, and what it said in that particular email was that the bill as we had it wrote, or as the Senate had it wrote, mm-hmm. I should say, or had it passed, would not satisfy the feds.
Yep.
And here's where I'm going to use the term liar, because whoever that information originally came from is a liar. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote that bill. I didn't personally write it mm-hmm. at all. I gave feedback and so on and so forth, approval and negotiations and all that. But that bill was wrote with the assistance of the Indian Arts and Crafts Board, the Federal Indian Arts and Crafts Board. So whoever's saying that it's not going to satisfy them is a liar, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, you know, okay, here's where it gets really interesting. Okay, so the next part was what? Refresh my memory.
Well, I'm not sure. Oh, as to what Jessica was talking about, that part. She said that they are going to do further research to make sure that the BIA, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, would be satisfied in the event that they took an interest.
I think what's happening here, and this is just my own assumption. I really don't have anything I don't have any inside information on this, but I've been dealing with this long enough where I think what they're doing is they're reporting the exact opposite of what's actually happening.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Our bill will satisfy S-222, as passed by the Senate, will satisfy the Federal Indian Arts and Crafts Board. It may not satisfy the Bureau of Indian Affairs because the Bureau of Indian Affairs does not want to see any more federally recognized tribes.
Mm-hmm.
And for some reason, these people, and trust me, Jim, the Abenakis of Vermont will never be federally recognized, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I hope you're recording this, and I hope that people can go back and hear my statement on that.
Mm-hmm.
We're never going to be federally recognized. We don't want to be federally recognized. Missisquoi tried for federal recognition, and it just tore them apart, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was horrible. They were persecuted really, really badly, you know. That information is all readily available on the internet if people want to go look it up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's when Bill Sorrell's office spent hundreds of thousands of dollars of Vermont taxpayers' money just calling Missisquoi a bunch of liars.
Mm-hmm.
None of us want to go through that, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the only thing that we're seeking here is recognition from the state of Vermont so that our artisans will be protected and not criminals for doing something that should be completely legal. I mean, it's, man, can you see the fault in a 70-year-old lady who makes baskets selling them at a powwow or a gift shop with a tag on it that says made by, so-and-so of the Abenaki Nation, made by a real Abenaki. Mm-hmm. You know, they are. That 70-year-old lady is an Abenaki. Mm-hmm. And you know, for any listeners that are saying, well, why not just leave that part out? Then there's no sense in doing it.
Right.
You can go to Walmart and you can buy a basket for $2.
Yeah, the Chinese can sell it, you know. So I understand why you have to do it.
For $100, okay? They have the right to make a living wage, too, okay? They might not be skilled in medicine or mechanics or whatever have you. They are skilled in their art form.
Mm-hmm.
And they have every right in the world to command a dollar that people are more than willing to pay because of the quality of these pieces, okay? And if it's a $100 basket, then so be it.
Mm-hmm.
But technically, as I said earlier, it's illegal for that 70-year-old lady to do it. That 70-year-old lady who cares nothing... who cares about nothing but making baskets and growing her vegetables in her garden and her grandchildren is technically a criminal, and that just tears me apart.
Mm-hmm.
And it tears me apart.
And it looks like Vince Aluzzi and the Senate got it. I mean, they understood it.
They got it.
And
they
passed
Vince
it.
Vince has been trying to do this for the longest time, and for whatever reason, you know, Bill Sorrell or the Commission on Native American Affairs has just made it, very impossible for him to get it through. He got it through this time, and the enemies went to the other side of the
Law,
which is the House.
Then the enemies rushed to the House, and the enemies, one of whom is Keisha, but is she, somebody? I mean, I'm assuming, maybe incorrectly, that somebody got to her and said, "Keisha, hey." Here's what you got to do.
Yeah, and... I think it was certain members of the Vermont Commission on American Affairs.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I'm being pretty modest there. I know it was because I've got copies of some emails. And I surmise, although I have no proof of this, that the Attorney General got to her as well.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would think so. And that's what happened with my voting bill, is that the Secretary of State steps in and they all, you know, kiss her butt. And so my bill got compromised, but at least it got through. So I know that process, and there's usually some important influence who goes to the House, and it's the House's job to do research. I mean, you know, we're not faulting them on that, but it's not their job to go with the way the stick is beating them. You know, they're supposed to do honest research, and they're supposed to look into things thoroughly, and it looks to me as if the Senate already did that. Now, okay, what would
you
like?
We really played by the rules this time, Jim.
Mm-hmm.
Here's an example. Okay, every other time that the Abenaki recognition has come to the table, there have been public and email wars between the tribes and between the naysayers, and it makes life very, very difficult for the legislators, because they'll open up an email box, which is, you know, generally already populated with pretty important concerns, and you know there'll be 10 times the amount of emails in there, and it's just horrible, hateful stuff, you know, and they're forced to skim through all this stuff and try and make sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
When this whole thing started, the senators asked us to not engage. They asked us to just focus on the evidence, focus on the issues at hand, and we did exactly that. We stayed 100% silent in all ways, shapes, and forms. We only provided them with the documentation that they needed, and negotiated the language of the bill.
Mm-hmm.
And look what happened. It really paid off. The bill went through fairly easily. We get into the House, and Keisha Ram, representative from Burlington, I believe, basically says the same thing to us. We don't want to get into any wars here. Do not engage. Okay, so for the last several months, the chiefs have been instructing their people to not engage. Sit back and relax. We're going to handle this with evidence, with scholarly research, and go down the proper route. Okay, and so now that do not engage concept is being called a gag order, because it was thrown in our face by Keisha, who told us to not engage, that they have received more, that the legislators have received more, more communication from the opposers of the bill than they have from us.
Mm-hmm.
That was thrown in our face.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you sit there and you start hearing the Twilight Zone music, man. They told us to not engage, so we stayed quiet, and then they threw it in our face that we were too quiet. You know?
Yeah. Well, that happened to me with my bill. Senator Cummings said, you know, too much information, it begins to become counterproductive. And I understand that principle. You know, these people only have brains that are a certain size, and they can't take in infinite amounts of information. And I pretty much had the battle won, and I was trying to put icing on the cake because I knew what Deb Markowitz was up to. And I was warned, stop, just let it go. And I did. But in doing that, I then had to let the Secretary of State pile all her evidence that I could easily have refuted, easily have done. But I had to shut up and let this other evidence come through. But since I knew I was going to win anyway, I did that. But I really understand this problem when you're told by the authorities or asked, you know, how to behave, and then you tip your hat and you behave that way, and then they use that against you.
Yeah.
Wow. So what can we do?
What can listeners do?
Just in case I happen to have a listener who wants to do something to help you.
I'd really appreciate it. It doesn't just mean we would really appreciate it. Thousands of Abenaki Vermonters, and that's the key word there, Vermonters. You know, our heritage, our blood heritage might be slightly different. But hey, in the last 300 years, we've all been living together side by side. And if you're not Abenaki, maybe your neighbor is. This really means a lot to people. What can people do? Well, you can contact, at length at this point, the, do not engage order has been, overridden. We will no longer comply with that. In fact, we are on, the do engage order right now. People can write to the members of the House Committee of General Housing and Military Affairs. They can write to each and every one of those members. They can also write or carbon copy with that email to their own representatives.
Okay. And I have
their own district.
I have a wonderful sample letter here that I can read later in the program, and I can even give the names of the legislators because I have all that.
Yeah, and you know, it doesn't have to be a huge lengthy thing. This only takes a few minutes out of your day. You just got to make it clear that you stand with the with the Vermont tribes and with the Senate. Yes, you stand with the Vermont tribes and with the Senate. And the Senate committee is again the General Housing and Military Affairs Committee. You might also want to carbon copy the emails to Senators Vincelluzzi and Hinda Miller. Just so you know, because regardless of what happens with this bill in the House, it will be handed back to the Senate to decide what to do with it. Mm-hmm. If they continue in the direction that they're going currently, then I will be forced to urge the senators to kill the bill, which is going to break my heart. Mm-hmm. I got to tell you, it's going to break my heart. It's a real personal issue. It's a broad issue, but it's also a very personal issue for a lot of us. Jim, I've been I'm a fairly young guy as far as chiefs are concerned, but I got into tribal government at a very young age, and I moved up through the ranks, and I have been speaking at the funerals of Abenaki elders for a long time. Okay, I've got a lot of them under my belt. I try and make it a point to be at every funeral of every citizen that has my signature on their card. Okay. And I get up and I speak at their funerals. And Jim, when I was a little kid, I remember going to tribal council meetings with my neighbors because the old man Ed was on the tribal council. And I was just a little kid, and I just went there to play with the other kids. And I had no idea what these older folks were talking about, but one word that I heard all the time, I mean over and over and over, it got drilled into my head, recognition, recognition, recognition. And I didn't know what it meant, but I knew one thing, even at that young age, that whatever this recognition thing is, it's really, really, really important to these older folks. Okay, and then I grew up and I went into tribal politics and I started speaking at their funerals. And I spoke at the funerals of those older people that I had heard talking about recognition for years and years and years. You know, it was so, so important to them, and I knew that at least. And so when I became chief, I was nominated by an elder in the tribe. Her name was Nancy Cody. And she was one of those elders that I heard speak about recognition, recognition, recognition. And I knew that she wanted it so bad, and so many of them wanted it so bad. All of them. I don't know any Abenaki that doesn't want recognition, for whatever reason it is, whether it's because of crafts, because of the arts and crafts law, or whether it's because there is an old, ancient passion within them that just wants their own government to say, hey, yes, we know that you guys are there, and we'd like to make it official that the state of Vermont recognizes you as the tribe that once had political authority in this land. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So I started speaking at their funerals, and when I became chief, I made it my mission. I'm going to see recognition through. I'm a pretty young guy, and I got a lot of time to do it. But I don't want to keep speaking at these funerals. Let me change my words there a little bit. I will continue to speak at the funerals. I would just really like to go to some with a smile on my face, knowing that person went to the other side, having achieved something that they wanted their entire lives. You know, and so that's how it is for the personal end with me, and I'm sure that's how it is for the other chiefs too. Although I can't speak for them.
Okay. Well, let me throw out a conversation that Robert Wagner has started with Denise Watso. He wrote her an email that said, Would you be able to arrange a briefing in person? I will travel for the independent Vermont candidates. For my part, I am struggling to understand this and other issues. Today, I understand only that the bill, as written in the Senate, was not perfect, but meaningful in terms of economic development. The recognition issue is sticky business. It looks to me as if the House didn't even ask you when they rewrote the bill. Instead, they deferred to the feds, who have the interests of only a tiny elite minority in mind, sacking Vermont's land and natural resources and exploiting its people for the benefit of large corporations and, of course, the ongoing wars. So he's one of the... I interviewed him not long ago on this program, and he's a real asset for you because he wants to get to the bottom of this, and as a candidate, he wants to make it an issue. So do you have anything to say about that?
Did you get a reply? Did you get a reply from Denise?
Well, I'm not the guy who sent it to Denise. It was Robert Wagner.
Okay.
So
right,
this morning I got this, so no. I mean, there wouldn't be any chance for her to reply yet.
I'm really glad that Robert has taken such an interest in it, and we've been communicating back and forth. I think he's a great guy.
Mm-hmm.
However, he's writing to the wrong person there. Denise mm-hmm. Watso is a member of the Odinak tribe,
mm-hmm.
and she is a staunch opponent of any type of Abenaki recognition in Vermont, unless it is her own tribe of Odinak, mm-hmm. which is, in my opinion, a foreign tribe to this land. They are the Canadian government considers them to be Canadian Indians, and I do not believe that they have any place in Vermont politics. Denise Watso is of the opinion that there are no Vermont Abenakis, that I don't exist, that my mother doesn't exist, that my grandmother doesn't exist, that my children and my brothers and sisters do not exist.
Mm-hmm.
And,
well, it's good that he's, I mean, he's walking into the lion's mouth, and that's what he does. He's a good guy. And I think that he's really trying to, you know, do his best.
I'll tell you what, he'll get to understand with her reply. He'll get to understand how deep the hatred is for the Vermont Abenaki tribes by outside interests.
Mm-hmm.
I think a guy like Robert Wagner probably needs to understand that stuff, because I truly do believe that he wants to dive into this issue. He's expressed such an interest.
Oh yeah.
I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, I probably have 20 emails from him, all of which move forward. They're not just chat, you know. I mean, they're all moving forward and trying to explain to people how to support S-222. I mean, he really wants to support that, and he wants to know what the problems are, just like I do. But I'm not nearly as active as Robert as in the political arena at this point.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, he actually seems to support the typical Indian rights that they have throughout the rest of the country. We'll never have them here in the state of Vermont, like you know, land use and
mm-hmm.
Hunting and fishing and stuff like that. We'll never have that, and that's fine with us. I can afford the $20-$30 it cost me to put a worm on my pole and cast it into, my brook on my land. And I'm real glad about that. I'm real glad about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, all right. I will you can stay on the... We don't seem to have any phone calls, so that means either people got it or they're not listening or whatever. But they might want to... You know, call me up later, because I have the names and addresses of all the legislators who are involved in this on an email from Robert Wagner. And I would encourage, you know, it's not rocket science to find this stuff out, but it can be a little overwhelming if you've never done it before.
I also want to say that people can reach me if they want, more to the story or the rest of the story.
Okay, and I should have said your name. I forgot to say your name.
They can email me at First Nations, all spelled out, First Nations LW @yahoo.com. my public email address, and I'd be happy to talk with anybody about it and give them the true facts of the matter here.
Okay, and I'll remind them of that email. And again, everybody, you can just call. If it's overwhelming for you to contact somebody, call the sergeant at arms and say you would like to leave a message for the House Committee on Housing and Military Affairs. And that message would be, please leave S-222 intact. I mean, if that's all you have to say, say that.
Yep.
Okay.
That's all it takes.
Well, thank you very, very much. And again, ladies and gentlemen, your guest was Chief Luke Willard. And his email is First Nations LW, or First Nation SLW.
First Nation, yep, that's right. Yep.
First Nation SLW at yahoo.com. And these... And the Abenaki tribes can certainly use your support, because the House does listen when you beat on them. Okay. Thank you very much.
It's great talking with you today, Jim.
Right on. We'll go on from there. Okay. Bye-bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, folks. If you have any questions about this, I have been following it. And I do know what happens between the House and the Senate, or vice versa, between the Senate and the House. And sometimes I am very disappointed in that I think it's like a pissing contest. I mean, that's how pathetic I think some of the actions are that seem to happen after a good Senate bill is passed. So I don't know, but let them know what you think anyway. And this is simply a matter of getting recognition so that people from the Abenaki can sell their wares as Abenaki. And I certainly understand the recognition thing. Being a white Anglo-Saxon Protestant, even though Celtic, recognition's never been an issue, so it's not a personal identification. But then as I began to realize that I was Scottish and Celtic, at least much more so than Anglo-Saxon, I began to say, hey, I'm not Anglo-Saxon, I'm Celtic. And there's, on that minor issue for me, I mean, if you're Irish, it's not a minor issue. Or if you're 100% Scottish, it's not a minor issue. It's a huge issue, especially when extremely ignorant people think that the Irish are English. I mean, that's about as ignorant as you can get. But it happens that people group you if you look Caucasian. You know, everything you feel, oh, I'm Caucasian. End of story. Well, the Irish do not like to be grouped in the same group as the English, and they should not be. And it's a very important part of recognition. And so I began to learn about it more from the importance of it from that point of view. And imagine it's 100 times more important for an American Indian to feel that way, because recognition means not only a personal pride in your heritage, but it's a way to get a livelihood. This is Jim Hoag on WGDR Plainfield 91.1 FM. The name of the program is The House at Pooh Corner.